Just so you know who I am, I've been kicking around the Adirondacks for over 30 years. I have a degree in forest technology from the Ranger School, and I have a degree in forestry from the College of Forestry in Syracuse. I have a minor in hydrology, and you're probably thinking, what the hell is a forester doing here to talk about the dam? The reason that I'm here to talk about the dam is because I'm responsible for all lands and forest projects and all state land within Region 5, and Kingdom Dam lists me as the responsible owner. And so our engineering folks do their engineering thing, and when they're ready to get permits, they say, okay, DEC, Lands and Forests, go get the permits for us. You deal with the park agency. When everything's squared away, let us know and we'll do the work. So I sort of feel a little bit like a whipping boy, not only at work, but also on Saturdays when I come and make presentations. So be gentle. I'll try and answer all of your questions. Here's the issue with the dam. Our dam safety folks took a look at it, I think 2 years ago now, and there are two issues with it. It appears that it's beginning to tip downstream, and it also appears that it's beginning to slide on the bedrock. So what?
Downstream.
Yeah, there may be some issues downstream that folks would be concerned about if the dam was to fail catastrophically. And because the new dam safety regs make every dam owner, whether it's the state or whether it's a private citizen, equally responsible for their dams, I got a bit nervous when I got a letter from our own people that said, you're responsible if this thing goes downstream. We have a number of options when we have dams like this that begin to fail. And frankly and honestly, the first option we always look at is what's called a controlled breach. That means slowly take the dam apart and don't rebuild it. There are a lot of places in the Adirondacks, particularly on state lands, forest preserve lands, particularly in the wilderness, where that has been our intent, and that's the action we've taken in a number of cases. We believe in the wilderness areas anyway, the dams don't belong. They're man-made structures, they've artificially controlled the environment, and under wilderness guidelines, our belief is that we should return rivers to their natural state. Before you get really nervous, that's not our intent. So that's sort of the good news, bad news, or bad news, good thing, news thing, however you might want to look at it. What we need to do in a nutshell is the work needs to be done in the summer. Pure and simple, we're not going to put contractors or department employees at risk by working on a dam in the water environment in the winter or in the fall or in the spring. So the work's going to have to occur in the summer. It has to occur when we have warm, dry weather, no ice, and not high water issues. So I guess that's part of the bad news is you're going to have a summer, either 2009, but more likely 2010, that you're not going to have much access to the water. Honestly, you may not have any access to the water. We don't know at this point how far down we're going to have to draw the dam. What we need to do is build a cofferdam in front of the existing dam. And what we don't want to have is a cofferdam that has a full pond behind it. Because what we're going to do is have people between the cofferdam and the face of Kingdom Dam. We need to dredge the soils off of the bedrock in front of the dam. And so to have people in that confined space with a full pond behind that cofferdam, or being in there in the winter or the fall and spring, is just not a good thing from a health and safety point of view. So we're going to have to draw down the pond significantly. Our intent is to remove all the soil from the bedrock, pour 3 feet of concrete on the entire face of the dam, and then pin that new concrete directly to the bedrock. We'll drill right through the concrete and into the bedrock. That'll take care of the issues of tipping, and then the issue of sliding on the bedrock. We're actually going to have to go on the downstream side of the dam, remove all the vegetation back probably 50 to 80 feet, build some access roads in there to get heavy equipment in, and then we will literally drill through the base of the dam and into the bedrock on an angle and pin the dam to the bedrock so that that'll eliminate the sliding problems with the dam. So the bad news is you're going to have a summer probably without access to the lake. Good news is that once the project is done, you'll have a full pond, and hopefully in the rest of my career, I'm not going to have to worry about it. I won't tell you how much longer I'm going to work. So that, in a nutshell, is what we're proposing. There are two major issues. One is the crossing below the dam that accesses those 12 properties on the northeast side of the pond. We intend to work with those landowners directly and not make that necessarily a universal issue for the Lake Association, but specifically for those landowners. There are a number of alternatives, none of which we have decided on what the best course of action is. One alternative is a ford, which would be an issue for access during high water events, but should not be an issue in the winter or in the summer.
Now, a ford is not the car, but...
A ford would be built-up bed right in the stream. It would be solid, permanent structure that people would literally drive through the water on. We do that in a number of places around the Adirondacks. It's an efficient, effective way to cross streams at little cost, little maintenance, and it's an environmentally sound crossing as long as it's a good solid bed. Another alternative is to put in some culvert tubes there that will handle the flow. And what we need there is not, you know, culvert after culvert after culvert, culverts on top of culverts, and adequate size pipes that blow out every spring, but a couple of good pipes there that would make an adequate roadbed. The issue is we're gonna have to take concrete trucks, concrete pumps, and things like dozers and backhoes across that crossing, so it's going to have to be something substantial. The other option would be a bridge, and frankly, I'm going to have a tough time recommending a bridge there, especially of the size and construction that would need there for heavy equipment, because this is coming out of my budget. And once the dam is repaired, you know, the state really doesn't have any need for a bridge there. So to spend $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 on a bridge is going to be a tough sell. Not impossible. We're certainly always interested in people stepping up to the plate financially and helping out.
So are we?
I can assure you that... none of your property taxes are going to pay for this dam. I can assure you that none of your income taxes are going to pay for this dam. The entire cost of this dam will be paid for out of Environmental Protection Fund monies. That fund is funded by mortgage transfer tax. So if you've bought or sold property and somebody's gotten a mortgage recently, thank you. It's a helpful fund. And that's what we intend to do at this point. Issues about milfoil, weevils, drawdowns, etc. I spent 5 years in my career as a pesticide control specialist in DEC, so I worked a lot with aquatic invasives, both training pesticide applicators, but also being involved in lake management programs around Region 5. And I can tell you, if you want good, thick beds of milfoil, the best way to get them is draw a lake down every year. Because if you draw a lake down, you freeze the bed of the lake, you kill all the vegetation, and what you do is you leave bare soil. And milfoil is probably the most aggressive aquatic invasive out there. As I don't think I'm telling you anything, you've all got it in front of your camps, or at least you've seen it in the lake. Small milfoil fragments can lay on the bottom and reroot and start a new plant. Hand pulling is effective as long as you get the entire plant. The way it's done in Upper Saranac Lake is the divers literally pull the plant from the bottom and roll it up and put it in a bag so it can't escape before they come to the surface. you break a piece off, you break a leaf off, that lands on that bare soil, it's going to sprout a new plant, and it's going to do it incredibly quickly. Drawdown is not effective for milfoil control. Benthic matting is effective, hand pulling is effective, the weevils are effective. Weevils overwinter in the forest duff, and so they have to leave the water in the fall and crawl up into the forest. What happens when you got a wide open mud flat? When you draw down, the weevils got across that. It's a great place for birds to feed. So.